From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear. Cause the truth will be too much. Yeah, the truth will be, yeah, the truth.
Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Sirin Petro, courtesy Bolt. Jed Marshall here as well. Going to tell you what you need to know. Ben Kirchville joins us a little bit later this hour to talk a little college football. Start with need to know. Royals shortstop Adalberto Mondesi is going to go on a rehab assignment. Yeah! To Omaha, for Curtis says, for precisely 1 week and be here for bobblehead night next week, correct?
Yes.
That's the prediction?
That's Tuesday. And Alec Lewis thought they might stagger the games played so that he plays on Sunday.
Yeah,
in Omaha, and
playing two in a row is too much.
Comes up and then is ready to go on Tuesday.
I mean, that's what a rehab assignment is.
Yes,
you're supposed
right.
to ease into it. But, hey, man, we heard it earlier this week. Dayton Moore, I mean, none of us are sold that he's going to be what they wanted him to be. I wish the best for him, though. I really do. We were talking about mental health with Alec about that, and I was reading this old story. You know, Mondesi was with Yordano Ventura the night of his fatal accident and was trying to convince Ventura to come with Mondesi back to Santo Domingo, and he said no, he was going to stay there where they were at this festival, and ended up driving to a different town to try to see his estranged wife, and then got in that crash. Then the night still haunts him. I mean, there's a lot of layers to
sure
Adalberto Mondesi. I'm wishing him the best, man. I really
Absolutely.
Am.
Absolutely. I mean,
not for the Royals for sure, but maybe for him too.
It's
you don't feel bad for guys who get
right,
paid lots
right.
of money to
I
play games,
that,
blah blah blah, all that stuff. But you feel bad for a young
a
man who's
being,
going through this.
Man.
Absolutely.
And I'm rooting for him as hard as I possibly can.
Do you feel bad for Cincinnati All-Pro guard Quentin Nelson, who's going to be out for, you know, maybe up to 3 months with the foot injury? Colts.
Yep.
Indianapolis Colts. You feel bad for him?
Yeah.
Different kind of bad you feel, though?
Well, I mean, I feel bad for anybody who's you know, going to be injured. I mean,
he's going to feel bad for someone who's a competitor of the Chiefs is fine to
I don't feel bad for the Colts necessarily.
Do you feel bad for Lakers fans that Carmelo Anthony has agreed to a deal?
They now have 8 players, 32 or older. I think 5 that are 35 or older. One of my favorite lines that I've read today is from a guy who I know some people don't like, but can be very funny. Tony Kornheiser on BTI said that the Lakers are going to petition to start their games at 5 in case they want to go to sleep at 7:30.
Get the special.
And Michael Pena, who's actually been on the show before with us, says, if the Lakers sign Andre Iguodala, they will have 40% of the 2012 Olympic team on their roster. Not a compliment.
No, that's not good.
Running it back. Hey, the United States Olympic team won last night, right? Beat Spain. Huh? It's all fixed.
There you go.
It's all
Give the ball
fine.
To KD.
Hey, well, you know what? He's pretty good. Nice place to start. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby and the Commissioner of the Pac-12, who I'm going to mess his name up, George K. It's Klyavov, I guess. They had a little meeting today to discuss some possible strategic partnership between the two conferences. Don't know where that's going to go. We'll talk more about that with Ben Kirchable a little bit later this hour. Steph Curry has struck it rich again. 4 years, $215 million. That's what these max deals are turning into now, right? Wow. It's big dough.
First
People used to get jealous
to
of like these baseball contracts. These NBA contracts are getting up there.
First player ever to sign $200 million contracts.
Not bad. Not bad.
All
and
right.
they're not like, you know, 13-year deals.
No.
These are 200 million, 4 years, 200 million.
Boom.
I mean, that's insane stuff. That's big, big stuff. And also here, the
Jed loves Steph Curry, by the way.
One of your favorites?
I do not.
He doesn't like Metallica. He doesn't like Steph Curry.
He's going to go to a Metallica concert with Steph
in
Curry.
In a Steph Curry jersey.
You know who the
no,
first...
No, with Steph Curry.
Oh, that'd be...
He's going to chew his mouthpiece the entire time.
You know who opened up that new arena out there? Where
Metallica.
The Metallica opened it up. See, it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to James Hetfield. Jed says we must mention again his 58th
it's
birthday.
It's all about Hetfield today.
It really has been. Gold Cup viewership. How about this? 5.7 million total viewers on Univision. That's the Latin American broadcast of it, the Spanish American, you know, broadcast. But I think they probably did okay on Fox Sports 1 as well, up against the Olympics. It's a really hard-fought game, and the United States ended up winning the Gold Cup. 1-0, late goal. They maxed out with a little over 6 million total viewers for that.
I popped over after the men's 100 meters was done. I went, yeah, all right, pop over. I think there was 8 minutes left in regulation.
And you're in for a while.
So
you got to see the end.
I got to see everything. It was fantastic.
After watching the guy from America who runs for Italy
the kid from Texas. Yeah, two guys from Texas finished 1-2. One of them just happens to be from Italy now. Yeah. Someone said that watching that match was like, I think it was Andy Glocker said, watching that match was like listening to a podcast on 2.5.
It was quick.
2.5 times.
Especially the part you watched. It was very frantic was very down there near the end for sure. And is this true? You make these things up sometimes, Jed. Today is both National Watermelon Day and Grab Some Nuts Day.
Yes.
That was pretty much my life as a peanut vendor. You would always say, jumbo bag of nuts, peanuts here. And at the time, they were guys' nuts.
Oh, wow.
And there was always some salty people who would say, what kind of nuts are they? And you would have to say, guys' nuts. And they would say, I don't want any guys' nuts. And I'd say, thank you for coming out here and sitting in the second row of GA again.
I think that
got him.
I think that's a very healthy and good thing. So you eat a good nut tonight when you get home.
Oh, I love peanuts. I'll have some peanuts tonight and some almonds, too. It's a good healthy snack for me. All right, let's hear some Chiefs stuff here. We mentioned before Tyreek Hill did not really practice today. He's got knee tendonitis. But let's hear from Big Red Andy Reid on a couple of other things that have happened. The big buzz yesterday was some linebackers getting interceptions off Patrick Mahomes. We didn't get to talk to Andy yesterday. We talked to him today. He was asked about Nick Bolton and Willie Gay making some interceptions against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's good to see those linebackers doing that. You know, you're trying to fit the ball into the tight windows there. And for those guys to react the way they have, I mean, I think that does nothing but make us better. So, I'm okay with that.
Tell us a bit more about what you've seen from Willie Gay and Nick Bolton out there so far in camp.
Yeah, listen, I like both of them. They're making plays. And so I was curious to see how they would do the pads on with the run game coming at them. And I thought they did a nice job with that. Good instincts. Like what I've seen, yeah.
But speaking of Gay specifically, he was coming off the injury at the end of last year. How did he just look coming off the injury in the camp?
Yeah, you know, he stayed up here the whole offseason and worked, and he's doing good. I mean, he's really busted his tail, so it's refreshing. He's got such a positive attitude. You guys deal with him, you know that.
There's Andy Reid talking about those young linebackers. They're going to be important for this team. Anthony Hitchens hasn't really been out there with the guys as much as they'd like to have him. So this was big for them. They had a padded practice today, and they're out there hitting a little bit. And good times for the Chiefs. Eric Bieniemy, I thought one of the good lines he had yesterday was either up in St. Joseph or down in Kansas City, the sign is always up, now hiring. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no guarantee anything for most of the guys on these rosters. And that's kind of what Big Red was talking about today when they try to get that mix of the right 53 guys.
Listen, I mean, we tell the players, make this as tough as you can on us. And don't count the numbers in the line, go play. And so then every day we're going to evaluate you. So that's what we do as coaches. We'll go up now and we'll go through every play and give them a grade on each play. So every player has an idea where he stands. They should never leave here, and this is what they're told. They should never leave here without knowing where they stand and why. So. And they can come in and ask any day. They've got the grades right there and an explanation of the whys.
One of the guys who would love to be on the team, again, he re-signed, is Alex Okafor. Okay, so he had a nice little run at the beginning, but he had some injuries, and he was a name that most people were looking for someone else to be a guy who signed at defensive end. But he's back with this team. I think he's an interesting guy. We'll play one non-Chiefsy thing first here. He went to Texas, and that's been the big talk, is Texas to the SEC.
No, I'm excited about the move to the SEC. I think it'll be huge for the program. Obviously, all of this is happening because of money. So, you know, there's not much you can say. I hope we compete. I hope we do well. And honestly, to be honest, I think the SEC is going to help us compete more. I think we're going to rise to the occasion, kind of like A&M did that first year, and hopefully, you know, take off from there.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. It's all
fixed
now.
Is there any way a
now.
Texas player can ever say anything that's good?
No, not for me. No, it's not. All right, now he's back with the Chiefs, though, and he was asked a little bit about how he got back here.
To be honest, I had a lot going on in my personal life the past couple years. So for me, this offseason was just, you know, relaxing, getting my mind right more than anything, and just letting everything else play out. Once it was time for me to come back, you know, I was excited about the opportunity. I got myself in shape, and here I am.
What's the process of getting your mind right? You just mean just clearing it, just taking a break from football?
Yeah, football, you know, is stressful. It's a whole lot of fun, but it's stressful just like any other career. And I'm going into my ninth year, so that's a whole lot of stress. But, you know, I sat back, cleared my mind, kicked it with family, and just found a sense of peace over this offseason.
Alex, did you always think you'd be back with the Chiefs, or was there consideration to maybe go elsewhere?
I mean, when you're in the open market, anything's possible. That's, you know, whether you're with a team or whether you're going to a team. So I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly what I was going to do. But one thing I did know is I knew this was number one on the list for me, and we made it work.
Yeah, it's certainly number one on the list, man. He got a ring out of the deal, right? And they've gone to the Super Bowl again, and they'd like to go back one more time. All right, one of the kind of surprises last year was Tershawn Wharton, the kid from Missouri S&T, and he jumped on the made the team and did all the stuff that you don't expect undrafted guys to do. He was asked a little bit about his offseason and what that was like.
I did a lot of things, like as far as like yoga, Pilates, and just working my hands a little bit more, because that's where I felt I lacked in the game. Last year I really came in just like ready to go, like using my motor. I mean, I haven't lost my motor, but that's what it really was last year.
Having a traditional type offseason, now you went through OTAs, you went through a mandatory mini camp, and this isn't an abbreviated training camp, now it's the whole shebang. How much is that gonna help?
I feel like it's gonna help a lot. I mean, I ain't never seen, like you said, none of this. So, I mean, I'm still soaking it in like it's like my first year with all this, but I feel like it'll help a lot. Because, like you said, OTAs, we were able to go out there and get out, and then I was able to go train again, like, oh, this is what I need to fix. So I feel like it'll help a lot.
Tershawn Wharton there, and they expect him. It's not, he was a pleasant surprise
last year. From a physical standpoint, there were some half a dozen plays last year where you saw, you're like, wow. Whoa, hello. Yeah.
Good stuff from him. Hopefully he will expand again, because I do think these second-year guys can be better for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk some college athletics with Ben Kirchival from CBS Sports.
The program with Soren Petro.
He prefers the company of men.
Who doesn't?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo, sitting in for Soren Petro this week, who's on a much-deserved vacation. It's been forever since he's been on vacation. So, was it last week? No, it was a little while ago. You hear the wonderful tunes of ZZ Top playing right now, as requested by our next guest, talking some college football with Ben Kirchival from CBS Sports. ZZ Top Sharp Dressed Man is playing, Ben. Rough week last week. Dusty Hill passed away, so that's got you thinking some ZZ Top, right?
Yeah. Good old Texas band, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, just a bunch of guys out there playing the blues, and as someone who can't really grow a beard, or at least one that looks, you know, good at all, I mean, that's always a big appreciation for ZZ Top, and Dusty Hill probably underrated, maybe underappreciated bass player. So, yeah, it's a sad day. It's a sad day for music there.
It's sad for sure. And I was looking this weekend on videos, because I love ZZ Top as well, and they have a tour going on. They started the tour back up, and they had their guitar tech, whose name is Elwood Francis. He's playing for Dusty now, and he looks like a 70-year-old guy with a beard. So he doesn't look any different. It's just wild looking. So if you haven't seen that video, go look it up. They played a little college football time. They were in Tuscaloosa. It was their first concert back. So interesting stuff when they saw it there. But I love ZZ Top. Lots of deep cuts, too, that you don't hear on the radio. Very good. Love the old stuff for sure. All right, Ben, let's talk some college football. I was just looking back through some things. Less than a year ago, or just a, you know, almost, it would be a year ago next week, all the articles were, the Big Ten has canceled football. They're going to maybe play in the spring. All that's where we were like less than a year ago. And now they played college football last year, and we've still got a pandemic going on. No one's even talking about not playing college football. But we've got Oklahoma and Texas with secretly joining the SEC. This has been a wild, wild year for college football, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's don't know, man. I don't know if there's been a year in a long time that's made me really lose a lot of faith in the sport as much as probably the past year. And maybe not so much in 2020, but this whole realignment thing is, I don't know, it sucks. That's kind of, I've given it a lot of thought over the past week or so and tried to come up with all the words and the thousands of words that have been written about it. And I usually just come back to it sucks.
I'm kind of that way too, but I thought it sucked 10 years ago or 11 years ago. I as a Kansas Cityan, who I went to Oklahoma, so I'm a Big 8 guy, I liked the Big 12. I know it was dysfunctional in the boardrooms, but I thought the conference itself was very good. People tend to forget that up till, you know, all the way till 2009 or so, I mean, Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, Colorado, K-State, these were national powers who were in or around the conversation for playing for national championships. The SEC wasn't that league. That Big 12 was really good from Nebraska. That first 10 years of the Big 12 was awesome. It really was. And then they just didn't get along with each other. And once that happened, the league wasn't as good. I've been saying for 10 years, you know what would be great? If Nebraska came back, and Missouri came back, and A&M came back. I don't really care about Colorado. They'd be fine if they came back. But I thought that was a really good league. But just the people couldn't get along, fighting over things. And there were some problems with the very beginning of it. They never should have done their third-tier rights the way they did. But who knew it would be that valuable? You know what I mean? So it got a little jealousy and ugly stuff. So I agree with you. It just hasn't been good. And I don't know if this is going to be good or where it'll end. I tend to think that the SEC is not going to be a 16-team league. I think they want to get bigger and just kind of have their own deal maybe. I don't know where it'll end. Do you?
No, I don't. That is the million-dollar question and the great unknown of all of this is where does it stop? Because there's no authority here. I mean, the NCAA is toothless to do anything about this. And, I mean, the tea leaves were there, Todd. And you go back to the start of SEC Media Days. What does Greg Sankey do? First thing he does is take a couple shots across the bow of the NCAA and their inability to get anything done. And it's not that those criticisms, especially in the wake of new NIL laws, it's not that those criticisms aren't merited, but now we realize that, you know, there might be something else at play there as well. And then here we are a couple days later after that, Texas and Oklahoma are heading to the SEC. And what is their end game? Is their end game to not be part of the NCAA and to have their own Premier League, if you will, of just teams that are competing for something else? Is it to just bring in more money? I don't know where it ends, but I don't really like the uncertainty. And what drives all of this is greed and paranoia, and it has ripple effects through college football. And you mentioned, you go back 10 years ago when that was the last like real big round of realignment. And even though it's not novel, even though it's not something that has only happened in the past decade, there was all of the, it was the first time that it had really happened in like the Twitter era, right? Where you could sort of get information in real time and see it unfold in real time and react to it as it was all happening. And there is this like curiousness to it. Like, oh, you know, what if we have four 16-team super conferences? What if this? And I'm like, careful now. Careful what you wish for, because it might come true. And the thing that has made college football so much fun is how regional it is. You mentioned the old Big Eight. And, yeah, I mean, you know, talent shifts over time and other, you know, teams in different areas get better. But, you know, rivalries stay there. There are times where, you know, if you worked in Kansas City, if you worked in a big city, you would have alums from different regional schools. And that was part of the passion and part of the pageantry. And that's, you know, we've lost it, and we're going to continue to lose it. And, you know, there's no amount of money in the world that – you know, can put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, it is sad. In we're talking college athletics with Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports. And make no mistake, for Kansas City, this has all been bad. I'm from here. You know, the Big 12 tournament was a really big deal. He had Missouri, Kansas, Iowa State, Nebraska fans, Kansas, Kansas State. Obviously, those fans would always be around. It hasn't been nearly as much fun without Missouri fans around and without Nebraska fans. We used to probably Nebraska hasn't earned coverage because they haven't been very good. But when they were good, or even when they were just kind of okay after Tom Osborne was gone, we would probably on this radio station have a Nebraska guest once a week on because they were going to play Missouri or K-State or KU, or they might be playing Texas. It was a big enough deal to talk about, right? We haven't talked, I don't know, an hour of Nebraska football with a guest on this radio station in 10 years probably. And there are so many alums here in Kansas City that it's just not important enough around here. And you thought, oh, maybe it'll be great because, you know, now Missouri is going to be in another league. But does anyone care about the Kentucky-South Carolina game in Kansas City? No, not really. It meant something when all three of them played each other and they all had common opponents and all that for us here. And that part of it's just gone. And that part is sad. I don't know if the Big 12 is going to survive in some way. They're trying to kind of hold it together. They've got this little unified front. You know, we're going to stick together. They're trying not to have people jump out, which is what happened last time. Once it started, even kind of started with rumors, they all just jumped. And all of a sudden, four of your members just left within 2 years. And they were trying to keep it together. Can Bob Bowlesby keep this thing together? Or can he not? I mean, he's supposed to be talking to the Pac-12 today. I hate the idea of getting involved with West Coast teams. I just don't think it fits at all what happens here in the Midwest, time-wise and all that stuff. Do they have any shot of keeping this together or merging with someone else?
I mean, they got a shot. I don't know. A week ago, you thought the Big 12 was dead forever, and now they're, like you said, they're sort of putting on this, well, you know, we might be able to cobble the pieces together, so who knows what will happen in another week, let alone in a couple of years. I'll say this, the options are pretty limited, man. I mean, they don't have a lot of good options. You know, if you're talking to the Pac-12, first of all, whatever the Big 12 is doing with the Pac-12, they need it more than the Pac-12 needs it, right? I mean, they're the ones that are desperately looking for options. The Pac-12 doesn't really need anything, at least from the Big 12. And if you were to talk about some kind of scheduling agreement or something like that, if I'm the Pac-12, I'd be looking to the Big Ten first. I don't even know why I'd be messing around with the Big 12, at least as a plan A. And I certainly would not – I mean, everyone keeps talking about media rights deals and ESPN and how much money you can make. I don't know how much greater and more lucrative that deal would be if you molded those things together. I don't pretend to be one of those people that knows those numbers inside and out or the value of those programs, so I'm not even going to guess. But I think when you look at this thing from 30,000 feet, I don't know that there's anything that the Big 12 gives you that as the Pac-12 you would necessarily need right now or at any time in the immediate future. The only thing they really seem to have in common is that their grant of rights are up here in the next few years, I think within a year or so of each other in 2024 and 2025. The Big 12 is in this really tough spot because geographically they're in the center. So they can be pulled in a bunch of different directions in terms of teams leaving. Pac-12, man, I mean, that's West Coast, baby. There's nothing that's going out that way in terms of, you know, any kind of shift in the landscape. So if you're Bob Bowlesby, you're going through all your options. I don't know that any of your options are all that great. And I don't know when it's going to be, but candidly, I don't really know how Bob Bowlesby keeps his job. I mean, this whole thing caught everyone by surprise, but the last person it should have caught by surprise is him. And he's completely blindsided by it.
100% blindsided. The very last question he got asked at Media Days down in Dallas a couple of weeks ago was sort of about realignment, but not really. It was mostly about the college football playoff. And he made a joke on the podium about, hey, nobody asked me about this. It, you know, it cost me $5. Some joke thing like that. He was clueless, absolutely clueless. Now, you have to give – I don't want to give credit to deception, but you have to give some credit to Texas and Oklahoma, I guess, for keeping this quiet and to the SEC for keeping it quiet because nobody knows. And these are leagues where everybody talks. So I agree with you. I thought Bowlesby's done an okay job. Now, he wasn't part of managing through – the last round. I mean, that was Dan Beebe kind of messing it up and Chuck Ninus in there. I mean, you know, he kind of came in afterwards. I mean, it seems like 70 years ago that Chuck Ninus was up there, you know, ranting about some of these things. But Bowlesby's just kind of been there afterwards. And this is a tough spot for him. I mean, do I care if he loses a job? Well, I don't know. But you're right. He should have known something was up. What people around here care about is what's going to happen to their school. So we are a Kansas affiliate. Kansas State is right here as well. If they don't cobble this together with something, are there landing spots for Kansas and Kansas State if the Big 12 just goes away?
Good question. You know, I always see these things like, well, the Big Ten cares about the AAU and academics and all that kind of stuff. And let me put it this way. I think they use that as a front, but I don't know that it really makes a difference as far as that kind of movement is concerned. So everyone would want to point to Kansas going to the Big Ten. If the Pac-12 wanted to expand, what they really get, practically speaking, from going to the Kansas States and the Oklahoma States and the Texas Techs of you know, what is left of the Big 12, is you get Central Standard Time kickoff. You know, I mean, that's what you get. You get better slotting for your games because that's an uphill battle that they fight right now. But as far as the value that those teams give other conferences to pick up, you know, maybe in time it happens. I think it's more likely that you're talking about bigger power conferences than you are necessarily about the AAC, you know, growing in its membership and catching up on some of that power and money. I don't know that that option is maybe as realistic. So for right now, I think the Big 12 or what's left of it probably stands pat and figures out some kind of Band-Aid patchwork thing. But there's so much mistrust. If I'm like West Virginia, do you think West Virginia wants any part of going to Corvallis, Oregon?
No.
You think they want any part of that? I'm from there. I got my peeps are back there. I got my sources back there.
They don't like coming to the Big 12 places.
Yeah.
Every years, Huggins talks about, you know, the Big 12 tries to help them. I mean, they'd say, all right, you can come to Norman and Stillwater in one trip, right? So they don't have to go back.
Yeah.
They don't want any part. And that's a revenue sport like basketball. I mean, you want these non-revenue sports traveling literally 2,500 miles away. 3,000 miles away.
Oh my God, it'd be devastating. I mean, here's what West Virginia wants. They want the ACC. I mean, they always did, even before they joined the Big 12. They joined that kind of like out of desperation and necessity. They want to go to the ACC, and what they're sort of banking on this time around is that Igor Dengue knows everyone, has hired everyone. That's what they're banking on. But if you're the ACC, I mean, you don't need West Virginia, right? I mean, like, guys, you don't need that. So those are the types of programs where you're like, the moment somebody calls you, or actually, let me put it this way, in realignment terms, the moment someone's lawyer calls your lawyer, that's, you know, they're leaving. First sign of light, they are leaving.
Yeah. Ben Kirchhoff is our guest from CBS Sports. So the Big 12 and – you know, where Oklahoma, Texas, and the SEC have gone through all of the ceremonial hoops of asking to be in, considering, extending invitations, accepting invitations. Every single one of these releases says 2025, 2026 school year, July 2025. There's no chance this broken thing goes that long. What's it going to cost? How long is it going to take? When are we going to see those two schools officially in the SEC?
Probably next year. There's some someone who works for CBS. There's some stuff with the SEC on CBS that could make things a little tricky, but you know, there's no way that
you know how awkward it would be. It was around awkward for four more years.
It was awkward for the 1 year where Nebraska was in the league and the half a year Missouri was in the league. I mean, 4 years of it? That's a lot of lame duck right there.
A lot of lame duck, and you know, take a bullet to your head, don't take 50 to the chest.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's going to cost some money somewhere, and that's where it'll all get worked out. And you know, the Big 12 was mad. I know there's probably not going to be any official lawsuit that gets any traction here or there, but I do feel like ESPN was behind a lot of this because of, as you mentioned, the CBS deal with SEC. It's only got a couple years left, and they could get out of that early too. ESPN would love to have that SEC game at 2:30 our time. I'll speak in Central Times. 2:30 our time, and they'd love to have the ability to have SEC night games on big ABC, right? Because right now CBS only gets one or two a year, right? They can't do double headers that start at 2:30 and 7 o'clock. ABC, that's what they do. They'll put those on. They want this stuff desperately. They want it bad. But I think the whole time is they didn't want – if you got the 14 teams in the SEC, there's some pretty bad matchups. And if you want to put these on like ABC, you don't want to have Mississippi State versus South Carolina at 7 o'clock on ABC, right? So you need some more names to put in there. So they went name hunting, and they found a partner who – Texas is already a partner with ESPN, right, with the Longhorn Network, which they hate. I mean, ESPN hates, by the way. Texas loves it because it's a free check. So I think there's been a lot of backroom dealing saying, all right, we're going to kill the Longhorn Network, but we're going to make you whole by putting you in here. But you know what? You can't put one. Let's get two. And, you know, so Oklahoma's coming along. I think ESPN has to be behind some of this. I don't think there's going to be some lawsuit that's going to save the Big 12 or anything like that. But I don't think there's any question TV is behind a lot of this stuff. It has to be because that's what runs the sport.
Well, you just said it. ESPN does not broadcast games. It runs them. You know, that's their role in all this. You know what I think? I think Texas, and I don't know how you would have done this. I obviously think this was happening back, you know. You could probably pinpoint it to – because Oklahoma was always mad about their television times, right? I mean, very publicly, about their TV times with you know, Big 12 and ESPN and Fox, and they issued a statement. I can't remember exactly when it was, but they issued a statement about how mad they were about this Nebraska game,
the 50th anniversary game. Yeah,
yeah, and that's when I went. I think you can look back on all of this and say, okay, you know, that's probably when it all started. But if I had to guess. And again, I don't know how you would have kept quiet. I think this was going to – I think originally they wanted this to come out next year.
Yeah.
And then 2022 is your last season, and you go in 2023.
They probably –
I think it's happening a little early.
Yeah, and then they probably start, well, this is going to get out. It can't keep a secret for 2 years. You know, here's my problem with Texas and Oklahoma. And listen, I went to Oklahoma, okay? It's my school. I love it. It's where I went to school. I like watching them play. It's all fun. They want to dictate everything, right? Oklahoma wants to have the Nebraska game at a more traditional time because it mimics the day after Thanksgiving game in 1971. But these two schools refuse to put their OU-Texas game on at night. They want it played usually at 11 or sometimes at 2:30 because just how Dallas is, they don't want to be down at the State Fair Park at night when the game's over, all that kind of stuff. So they can't have it both ways, but it turns out maybe they can because they're just going to take their ball and go somewhere else. But they're not going to be running the SEC, right? I mean, they're going to be big-time members, right, because they are Oklahoma and Texas. But they're still going to be the new kids at the table. How many Arkansas fans do you know who really feel like they're – I mean, they've been there since 1991. They were the kids forever. And they were just happy someone else came in with Missouri and A&M, so they don't feel like the newbies, you know? It takes a while to get indoctrinated into that SEC culture, and I think Oklahoma and Texas have a little bit of a rude awakening there.
Well, it just okay. There's a couple dynamics at play here. We were talking a little bit off air. Like Texas has been this great meat shield for Oklahoma. They're just out there taking all the bullets for them. And if you're Oklahoma, you're like, this is perfect. Please just keep taking all the licks so that we don't have to. But if you're Oklahoma. You know, you're making. It's not like you're not making money. I mean, are you making as much as the SEC? No, but you're still like recruiting on a national, scale. You're still getting good enough players to go to the college football playoff. You probably have a team this year that could maybe make a run at a national championship. Was it not enough was six or seven straight Big 12 championships. It wasn't enough for you. And for Texas, my God, you can't even get above seven regular season wins. Now you think you're going to go play Alabama every year or every other year, and you think that's going to change for you? We can't recruit because we're in the Big 12. No, you can't. First of all, your recruiting is fine. You can't develop them because you're plowing through coaches every 4 years because there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not your fault. No, it's never your fault. It's someone else's fault. And, again, it's that kind of hubris that careful what you wish for. You know, so you might go into the SEC and you might, if you're Oklahoma, you might win it 1 year or something like that. You might have success. I don't know. But careful what you wish for on that, because you burn a lot of bridges along the way, and, you know, at what point is it ever enough for you? And the answer is it's probably not. And, you know, good luck creating change that the people in charge will not have to live with the long-term consequences of that for years to come. So congratulations. You got what you wanted.
Yeah, I think from the Oklahoma side, because I pay quite a bit of attention to it, you know, it's my school or whatever, and I watch the recruiting and all that. And I think they feel like they're almost there, but when they get in those games against those Clemsons and the SEC schools, they're like, they just don't have the exact caliber of athlete they need. So I think they want to recruit in SEC territory a little more. But this whole thing is the Big 12's fault, because if they never would have let A&M leave, there wouldn't be the exodus of Texas players to the SEC schools. I mean, they really did let the rooster in the hen house there. They blew that on their own. And so they reap what they sow in that front. It took them 10 years to kind of figure it out. And who knows? I mean, these things happen. I mean, the Big 12 lasted, I guess, for 25 years. And it lasted in its initial state for 15 years. Maybe things just don't last forever, I guess. I mean, the SEC hasn't been the exact same thing forever. They've added some teams. Georgia Tech left. These things happen. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I'm with you, Ben. I don't like it. But it is what it is. And I can't stop it. They don't ask me. I'm just greedy. I want things for myself. I liked to be able to go watch my Sooners play. In the old Big 12, it worked out perfectly. Every year, they were either in Manhattan, Lawrence, Ames, or Columbia. Every year, so I could go watch them on the road or go down to Norman to watch a game for Kansas City. But they're apparently not doing this for the Kansas City alum from Oklahoma. So whatever. I guess they won't ask me to come speak at any banquets, that's for sure. All right, Ben Kircherville from CBS Sports is our guest. Let's do the Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Let's start out number one. I don't know if Petro's asked you this yet, but the over-under on Kansas wins is one this year.
Ooh.
Are you feeling the over or the under? They are playing on the road at Coastal Carolina and on the road at Duke, plus the Big 12 schedule.
I think it was 1.5 earlier this summer. Is it down to 1?
I've seen 1, 1.5. I mean,
Caesars is what we use. See,
okay.
It was formerly William Hill, now Caesars. It was 1.5.
I'll take that
one. Yeah. So you know what? I'm gonna take the over, because and there's been a lot of lean years for Kansas football since Mark Mangino was fired. But even in some bad years, they like managed to get 3. Right? Like they've somehow stumbled into at least 3 wins. So they'll get South Dakota. Can you nick somebody along the way somewhere? You got to believe in something, man. Give me 2.
I'm strong on that over 2. I think it's going to happen this year for them. Okay, today is, we did talk some music before with ZZ Top. James Hetfield from Metallica, it's 58th birthday. I love Metallica. Jed hates Metallica. He won't play Metallica songs for me, but do you have a favorite Metallica song?
Yes, Master of Puppets, and also James Hetfield's only 58. He feels like he's 70.
Only 58 years old. Lived a hard life, but only 58. And Master of Puppets is my favorite too. So we're brothers on that one. I see on your Twitter bio that you like The Bachelor, but are you a Bachelorette fan? Because that's going on right now. And if you are, who do you think's gonna? I guess you win The Bachelorette. I think that's all losing. But have you been watching The Bachelorette? Do you have a favorite?
I've been traveling for 2 weeks, so I actually have to catch up. I haven't seen it since they've gone to hometowns. So I don't even know what's going on at the moment, and I'm trying to, like, plug my ears so that I don't get any spoilers.
Okay, we'll follow on Twitter to find out what you think about who should go or not. Okay, I got that. Yeah. I got that. And finally, the Olympics are going on. Do you have a favorite Olympic event that you like to watch? Is there something out there that maybe people wouldn't expect from you that you would like to watch? Because they don't have college football in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. You ever watch those badminton guys? Those guys are insane.
Oh, it's crazy.
Those guys are just – those guys are swinging the racket so hard for a thing that just, like, flutters through the air. And it just – the volleys on those are really intense. And I love this idea of, like, a really non-traditional sport like badminton, where if somebody makes a play – you know, like, anytime someone makes a play, they, like, yell into the air and pound their chest. Like, I want that for badminton. You know, I want the most, like masculine, just competitiveness thing for something that is just so, like, flighty and just not even all that intense.
I like it. I like it. It's good stuff, and we're enjoying watching that as well. I like to see these things every once in a while. I don't need badminton in my life every Saturday, but I like it every 4 years. So we'll check that out as well. Ben Kirchhoff from CBS Sports, thanks so much for your time, and we'll be following along with you as we try to figure out where all these teams are going to land. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, you bet.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. On this date in 2015, he became the fourth player ever to hit for the cycle three times. Who is this Hall of Famer?
In 2015, Hall of Famer, God, who is it? Is it, I mean, like, that's A-Rod or Jeter or somebody like that?
Nope. He is the fourth of now five. Somebody else has been added to that list. Trey Turner more recently did it for the third time.
He's an insane cycler, Trey Turner is.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's too much.
Adrian Beltre, a guy that was always kind of a bee in my bonnet as being one of the underrated players. He is certainly going to the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah.
Six gold gloves, 3,000 hits, more than 400 home runs.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
A lot of cycles, too. Cycles are not easy to come by.
No, that's kind of a hit and miss type of thing, but usually if you do it more than one time, it means you've been good for a while. So
right. And you know what? I think it used to happen more because the ballparks were bigger and, you know, AstroTurf was
triples are hard to get. But the 70s, 80s, the Royals had some cycles. George Brett did it twice.
Yeah. And I think Frank White cycled once, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he did. I
believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not easy to get. It's a lot of places because they just don't get triples.
Not anymore.
The ball used to rattle around all the time. Well, nobody hits the ball anymore. It goes over the wall.
Right, it's either homer or single.
And they're positioning players now where it's tough to hit it where they ain't because they know exactly what you're doing when you do that. I don't know. That's a good one. It's a good one. Adrian Beltre, not bad. All right, Curtis, we're done here today. Tomorrow we'll be back at it. Seren's on vacation, and he will be back next Monday. We've got it for the rest of the week. Almost entirely sports will come up late tonight, but you get a little Josh Briscoe first. Coming up next with baseball tonight, we've got the Sporting Kansas City show, and then some almost entirely sports. So all the Briscoe you ever wanted is coming your way right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, Kansas City.